Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this last edition of the Cyrical Review on this Saturday, November 15th, 2014, as we discuss the world of sports. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to my website, CyrilGeraldQuinn.com, as well. Busy program, a lot of football with, of course, Mississippi State, Alabama. Big day in the NFL tomorrow, and I mean, it can't be worse than last week. Like, last week was just, it was tough. a lot of bad games last week, but we're getting to that place. We're getting close to Thanksgiving. Probably more teams in playoff contention now than there's ever been in the National Football League. We'll talk more about that. But we begin with market value, a word that is often, or a phrase that is often used in sports and all our professions. Market value. What are you worth for a particular set of skills or special skills that you may have? Market value versus actual value. And we talk about this because for the Florida Marlins, the Miami Marlins are in the process of nearing a deal that's going to pay Giancarlo Stanton $325 million over 13 years. And you know, you look back at some of these contracts in the history of baseball, of these 10-year contracts, it hasn't worked out well. I mean, it really hasn't. I mean, Pujols, look at Joey Votto, look at Troy Tulowitzki right now. Great player, but he can't stay on the field. They're trying to trade him. Derek Jeter, that's the one that actually has worked out. A-Rod twice. You know, Robinson Cano just signed a 10-year deal. Had a very good season, but, you know, team didn't make the playoffs. So in baseball, you know, and we all know in baseball, it's all about the pitching. You got to have the pitching. But again, this speaks to a larger issue in sports, beyond baseball, of teams giving guys what they perceive them to be worth versus what they are probably actually worth. Ricky Rubio just signed a contract, 4 years, $56 million. Ricky Rubio is a point guard who can't shoot and has been on a point guard who's on a team that hasn't been in the playoffs his entire career. But according to market value, he's worth, you know, $14 million a year. That's an argument I heard back in 2006 when Gilbert Arenas signed that ridiculous contract. Well, he's not a superstar, but market value, best player on the team, sells tickets, agent zero. Look how that worked out. One of the worst NBA contracts in history. So again, market value versus actual value. Now, the sport, I'm telling you, the sport that, and you can laugh, the sport that probably does the best job of paying guys what they probably are actually worth is probably the NHL. Don't see, not too many bad contracts in NHL. NFL would be a close second. But Major League Baseball and the NBA give bad contracts by the week. And again, look at baseball and these 10-year deals. Only one that's worked out and that has produced a championship, that has produced players still playing at a high level during that contract, a player who was box office, was Derek Jeter. 2001, Jeter signed a contract, 10 years, $189 million. At the time, people say, oh, my goodness, he's overpaid, he's overrated. The rest is history. Derek Jeter is one of the all-time greats. And that was a contract that was more than worthy of what the Yankees paid for it. But again, the Miami Marlins, I mean, 13 years, you know, this is a franchise, keep in mind, whose payroll, they have payroll. They're trying to, you know, they're talking about paying a guy, their payroll was $41 million last year. That was last. They had a $41 million payroll. So he's almost going to be making more than what their entire payroll was combined last year. If this contract, yeah, I mean, listen, you don't hear too much speculation on $300 million contracts. Yeah, if this is true, again, they're close. Again, you had the people in Miami backing, you know, saying he's the cornerstone of the franchise. He's a great player. He's a great young player, one of the best young hitters in baseball. But again, he can only affect the game so much as a guy who can hit home runs, drive in runs. He's not a pitcher. He's not a pitcher. And he's not great enough defensively to where he's saving games with his defense. So, you know, guys in sports today are getting paid. People are getting paid based on what they perceive to be worth versus what they actually are worth. And it is ruining a lot of franchises. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Busy program. Again, we'll get to the football. We'll get to NFL picks. We'll be right back.
Take your share of trouble. Face it and don't complain. If you are the rainbow, you must have a name. Happiness comes double after a little pain. If you are the rainbow, you must have the rain. What if your love affair should break up, as they sometimes will, when you kiss and make up? Oh, oh boy, what a thrill. Sadness ends in gladness. Showers are not in vain. If you want the rainbow, you must have the rain.
.347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Becoming increasingly more difficult for me to root for Florida State. It really is. Florida State, it seems, weekly has something going on, or something that's coming on, that's happened, that's coming out of the woodworks. You have two of their players one of them, P.J. Williams, who was the MVP of the defensive MVP of the Rose Bowl last year against Auburn, gets pulled over, was involved in a hit and run. They fled the scene. They would come back like 30 minutes later, and it doesn't come out. This happened October 5th. It doesn't come out until November 14th. No charges. Tallahassee police, didn't report it to the school. School knew about it. Mario Edwards Sr., who's in charge of player development, gave Williams and Darby, the other guy, Carlos Darby, a ride back, of course, from the scene, a ride home. Both cars were totaled. Just a lot going on in that story with how things are done down in Tallahassee. And again, to no shock or surprise, because, it's clear that the police down there are in cahoots with the football team or the football program or beholden to the football program. There's no getting around it. There's no two ways about it. So who knows how many incidents that have been covered up. I mean, even the rape allegation with Jameis Winston, that whole ordeal, or the sexual assault with Jameis Winston back in 2012. I mean, how do you root for this team? Like, really, seriously, I mean, again, you're talking to somebody who's been a Florida State fan since the Deion days. Okay? Leroy Butler. Impossible to root for this team. It's impossible. I mean, Jimbo Fisher right now, great recruiter, good coach, but doesn't really have control. Doesn't have control of this program right now. There's no two ways about it. You get into an accident, you flee a scene, you get charged. I mean, that's a crime. It's just that simple. I don't have to be a lawyer to understand. You don't have to be a lawyer to figure that out. Is your call number. We'll look back at the week of the NBA coming up on this edition of the Serial Corner Review. We'll be right back. On this last edition of the Serial Corner Review. Watching the game last night, and I did watch the Lakers-Spurs game, painfully watched it. It was, the Spurs basically toyed with the Lakers for about three quarters and then said, you know what, enough of this. guys, our starters need some rest. Let's move this lead from like 10 to 20 in about 2 minutes. That's been the MO for the Lakers this year. They play hard. They're competitive for a half, maybe even three quarters. Then fourth quarter, as team says, why are we still in the game with you? Why is it still close and competitive? And they run the Lakers out of the building. Very indicative of where the careers of Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan are at right now. Tim Duncan, on a team that's favored to win another championship, gets his 25,000 point. Efficient game, didn't have to do too much. We're getting 13 points, 11 rebounds, did what he had to do. Kobe Bryant, one for 14, couldn't hit the side, couldn't throw it in the ocean. And, team comes out, he has a viral infection. He had a bad game. Come on. You don't have to, he's human. Yeah, he's capable. Like, it's not like he shoot a career 60% field goal shooter. He can have bad games. Especially bad shooting days. So don't come out. Don't try to protect his performance. He had a bad game. That's all it took. You don't have to say anything. Move on to the next game. That's it. Yeah, a viral infection. Come on. You had a bad game. So you don't even have to say anything. The number 1 for 14 is 1 for 14. Okay, he wasn't feeling up to par. Whatever. Come on. So that was what it was. San Antonio, listen, had a couple early losses, but make no mistake about it, San Antonio is a team to beat in the NBA. They go back-to-back wins at Golden State, at the Clippers, at Golden State. Clippers, again, that game was on a platter for the Clippers to win. But typical Clippers can't execute down the stretch in the fourth quarter of a close game that's, not running gun, not fast break. So no surprise there. Golden State just quite, San Antonio probably played their best game of the season against Golden State, played great. No David Lee for Golden State, but again, Golden State, San Antonio is who they are right now. Right now, there are a bunch of teams in the Western Conference. We know Dallas is very good. I'm not sold on Houston. Oklahoma City will eventually get their people back. But there's one team that returned everybody with no tweaks or no major trades, and that's the Spurs. And they have three players who are not even playing right now because of injury: Splitter, Patty Mills, and Bartonelli. So again, they are who they are, and it'd be surprised if they're not playing in June. Derrick Rose comes out and makes comments about his future post basketball, in regards to him taking him sitting out games, the precautions that he's taken, wants to see his son's graduation. If you're Derrick Rose, you have missed the better part of two seasons since you won the MVP in 2011. Okay, so. Excuse me, in the 2011-2012 season. At this point, you don't need to make any comments on anything about how great you're feeling or even defending yourself. First of all, the game that he set out, he wanted to play, the team, that was a team decision, more about a him decision. That's one. Following the ankle, following when he tweaked his ankle in the Chicago game, in the Cleveland game, the team. Everybody knows, everybody knows he wanted to play in the next game. They said, the team sat him out. So, you don't have to come out there and defend, a team decision. Not to say anything about the subject. Nobody wants to hear. Nobody cares about your son's graduation. You know, nothing to do, nothing personal against his son, but you're 26 years old. You know, we should be talking like that. I mean, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, guys who are Tim Duncan, guys who are at the end of the rope. Not a 26-year-old guy who is supposed to be in his prime at this point. Every time Derrick Rose, you know, hamstring, ankle, you know, every time you see Derrick Rose fall, every time you see Derrick Rose limp, you're going to be nervous if you're an NBA fan, if you're a Chicago fan. It's just, I mean, that's where he's at right now. But right now, Derrick Rose just needs to play basketball. His durability is going to be questioned, and rightfully so. The guy has not been healthy for 2 years. He can't make it through a week without some type of ailment. I mean, come on. His ankle's 1 week, hamstring next week. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Circle Review. When we return, we'll get into the NFL. That's coming up, and much, much more on the Circle Review. We'll be right back. Sunday for the NFL. I don't know which one is a bigger story, who's in the playoffs right now or who's not in the playoffs right now, because right now you have, between the two conferences, you have six teams who are at least 5-4 who right now wouldn't be in the playoffs, including a team that Sports Illustrated is picking to win the Super Bowl, the Green Bay Packers, at 6-3. So, I mean, there are more teams with winning records now than I've seen in a long time in the NFL at this point in the season. I mean, it's almost Thanksgiving. And you're going to have a situation where you're going to have some 10-6 teams miss out on the playoffs. I mean, you're going to, like, especially, you know, with the NFC situation, with the NFC right now, with the NFC, New Orleans is going to win that division by default, either with a 500 record or who knows, maybe even a 7-9 record. So you have a game like Eagles-Packers, that is a huge game for those two teams because, you know, they are both in division battles right now. Right now, Eagles, of course, are leading their division. Packers are a game behind Detroit, really two games behind, considering that Detroit beat them earlier in the season. I mean, again, a couple good teams may get left out of playoffs, including San Francisco. And San Francisco is going to be fighting. I know they're 5-4 right now, but San Francisco is going to be fighting for a playoff spot. So as we enter the stretch run of the NFL season, you know, normally, you know, you don't start watching playoff positioning until after Thanksgiving, you really could start this week, this weekend, to be honest with you. You really could start this weekend. I mean, if you're a team fighting for a playoff spot, if you're Pittsburgh, if you're Baltimore, if you're San Diego, if you're San Francisco, if you're Green Bay, Kansas City on that fringe, you don't want to lose any games. But if you're going to lose a game, lose it to a team, to a non-conference team. You don't want any conference losses with these tiebreakers at this point. Again, three major games in the NFL, Eagles, Packers, Colts, Pats, Lions, Cardinals. Now, Colts and Pats is more about home field advantage than anything. It's more about home field advantage. Both those teams are going to the playoffs. Both those teams are going to run away with their divisions. And, you know, you had the whole Brady, Luck, dynamic, you know, the old man versus the young gun in terms of Andrew Luck. Lions and Cardinals, you know, which one, you know, can one of those teams get to the Super Bowl? Can, you know, is Arizona, I think Arizona with Carson Palmer would have been a legit Super Bowl contender. I think they are that complete of a team. Great fourth quarter team, physical, excellent defense. And Bruce Arians has proven his mettle as just a big time coach. Lions, still not. I mean, I think the Lions will get to the playoffs, but I'm still not sold on the Lions as a contender. Still got to see more out of Stafford. The Lions defense has been the best in the NFL this year. Matthew Stafford has thrown game changing interceptions that has kept teams in games this year. When the Lions defense, you know, basically dominate the game, but they only still up, you know, 10-3 or 10-0, or it's within a, you know, one possession, or it's within the game's within a possession in terms of games one possession competitive in the fourth quarter. I mean, it kept their offense has kept a number of teams in games when their defense, you know, should have dictated like a 21-0, 28-10, that type of lead. So still not completely sold on the Lions as being a legit Super Bowl contender. I think the Lions are better. I think they're better coached than what they were last year. More physical, they're more physical. But gotta see more out of Stafford. As far as the Eagles Packers goes, Packers are almost impossible in that building on the regular season. Aaron Rodgers is like 32-3. It's a tough spot for the Eagles going up to Lambeau Field. We know Eagles are very good on the road, but again, they'll have more tape on Mark Sanchez. Packer defense starting to come around a little bit. We know what their offense can do. But again, it should be a very entertaining game. Again, that is, you know, the loser of that game. I mean, that is a, you know, loser will still be in the playoff mix. But that, again, that Green Bay, the Green Bay Philly game is a big game for our playoff positioning. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Circle Review. When we return, we'll have another edition of Are You Kidding Me? NFL Picks, a lot to do on this latest edition of the Circle Review. We'll be right back.
Come, you'll splinter with the king of the blue.
347-215-6180 is your call number on this edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Sixers still winless, 0-9. They almost took out Houston last night. Probably should have won that game, but they dropped to 0-9. Again, they are. I've had this argument with friends about what the Sixers are doing. I completely am buying into what they're doing right now in terms of losing games, acquiring picks, and building from there. It's a tough sell to your fan base. It is, especially for a proud sports franchise, proud sports city like Philadelphia. Very difficult sell. But again, in the NBA, you have to get awful to get great, as far as I'm concerned, unless you get just incredibly lucky, like the Boston Celtics did back in 2007 with, McHale basically gift wrapping Kevin Garnett to Danny Ainge and the Celtics. Those things are not going to happen. And that is the rarest of rare situations. Sixers know they're not going to be never going to get that lucky. So this is how you do it. I mean, you're awful. You don't beat around the bush. Get a high pick, top three, top five pick, and go from there. Because what you're doing is and this is year three of their plan. They've gotten Joel Embiid, got Nerlens Noel. Michael Carter Williams is a very good player who has the potential to be an all-star. So they have some nice pieces. And you're hoping that one of these guys is a franchise player. You're going to have role players. You're going to have money in their salary cap. So to a point where you can go add pieces through free agency and not be hoping for Kevin Garnett or hoping for a LaMarcus Aldridge. It's hard. I mean, to get those type of guys is almost impossible, especially for a team like Philadelphia. Philadelphia doesn't draw free agents or big time free agents. So to me, what they're doing, they're going to be the butt of a lot of jokes. People questioning what they're doing and questioning the management. I'm completely on board with how they're going about running that franchise right now. And right now it's hard to see it, tough to see it because of the losing. But again, give it another year. It's going to be a 5-year plan. It's going to be a 5-year plan. So give it another 2 years. Give it another 2 years. Then by year five, you'll have a better chance to gauge if what they did was the right moves. So we'll see what happens with that. Florida State, Miami tonight. Do not be surprised to see if Florida State loses that game. This is not, of course, a vintage Miami team, but I found it very interesting in the line that Florida State is only favored by 2.5 points of a Miami team that is not ranked 500 in the ACC, 6-3. But again, it's Miami. They have talent. Make no mistake about it. Now they don't have 2001 Ken Dorsey, Willis McGahee, Ed Reed type talent. They don't have that kind of talent, but they do have players. Game at Miami. It's in Miami. We know it's a rivalry. Teams hate each other. Players played against each other in high school. I would not be shocked if Florida State lost that game. Florida State has been on a tightrope all year long. Been walking a tightrope in some of these games. But the big one, of course, is down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Mississippi State. Mississippi State, of course, undefeated, top of the polls. And these are two of the five teams, you could say, that control their own destiny as far as the college playoff, as far as the playoff system goes. Again, this is still a round robin in terms of the SEC. I mean, Alabama has Mississippi State. Alabama still has Auburn. Mississippi State still has Ole Miss. So, again, Mississippi State, I believe that, Mississippi State, if they get through to the SEC championship undefeated, and even if they were to lose a close game in the SEC championship, let's say, for argument's sake, to Georgia, somebody like that, that they, to me, would deserve one of four playoff spots. There's no way. Again, there's no way. I think Alabama's going to win this game, even though I think Mississippi State's the best team in the country. But at Alabama, games at Alabama, I don't think there's any way a team can go undefeated in the SEC through a regular season, especially coming out the SEC West. I just think it's impossible. I really do. I think it's impossible. So you have that. Todd Gurley returns from the suspension for Georgia as they look for one or two major revenge games at Auburn against Auburn. Auburn, of course, has the Alabama game, which is the ultimate revenge game geared towards Auburn. Auburn, of course, is coming off. Auburn, of course, still in the mix. Auburn, probably out of the mix for a national championship, but still has a chance to do some damage with a couple of wins in the SEC. If they beat Georgia, they can ruin Alabama's season. If Alabama wins today and goes into Auburn game with only one loss. So still something to play for the Auburn team. Again, the SEC, if there's any questions about the SEC being the best conference, just look at this year. I mean, you had Texas A&M was dead in the water. They go to Auburn, who some people thought was the most complete team in the country. They go to Auburn and take out Auburn. This is Texas A&M. Not Alabama, not Ole Miss, Texas A&M, who is, by the way, considered to be a year away from being a big-time team again. So that just shows you how deep the SEC is at this point. I mean, it's just remarkable what's going on in this conference, especially in that Western Division. But again, the big game, Mississippi State at Alabama. Alabama, of course, we know Nick Saban is 8-3 in these top five games. Mississippi State has handled LSU. They've handled Auburn. Again, both of these teams control their own destiny as far as their role to the national championship or to the playoffs, to the 14 playoff in January. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Coon Review. Coming up, we'll have NFL picks as well as Are You Kidding Me? That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Coon Review. We'll be right back. Brandon Marshall engages in a Twitter battle with a fan and tries to spin it for charity. Yeah, he actually did this, and this is actually going on in the midst of the Bears disaster.
Are you kidding me?
So it's bad enough that you're on a team that is considered to be right now a sinking ship in Chicago, 3-6, completely out of the playoffs. They're not sniffing the playoffs this year. Going back and forth with Jay Cutler, questioning Jay Cutler. You've had a bad year by his standards, been injured on and off. So now, now what's the move? Let me get into a Twitter fight battle with a guy who I've never met, a guy who, is just looking probably for 15 seconds of fame, not 15 minutes of fame, probably 15 seconds of fame because of something that he said about my mom. You're a professional football player who probably could use some time, with his playbook or recovering from an injury or studying film, more film. you know, I'm not inside Brandon Marshall's mind, but I'm sure there are a number of things you could be doing to get into a Twitter battle. Well, again, with a Yahoo that you never met before. And now, because it's probably a breach of his contract, he's trying to spin this as a fight for charity. He's actually challenging the guy to a fight, $25,000 for charity. At first, it was $25,000 if the guy beat him. He's going to give the guy $25,000. Now it's for charity. And then he says, you know, it's anti-bullying, so on. So I'm like, no, it's too. You're past the point to where you can spin this. You can't spin this anymore. Michael J. Fox couldn't spin this. Like, it's no, you're not. Like, stop talking to this dude. Drop it. Let it go. Say, I made a mistake. We're not going to fight. That's it. Keep it moving. Again, this is indicative of the Bears season right now. This is the type of stuff that's making headlines for the Bears. Besides the fact that they're playing some of the worst defense that you'll ever see in recent memory. Putting that aside, and putting, you know, Jay Cutler's turnovers. It's been a decent season for the Bears, outside all that that's going on. J.J. Watt, cover of Sports Illustrated, possible MVP candidate.
Are you kidding me?
So J.J. Watt, you know, on the cover of Sports Illustrated, being pumped as a MVP candidate, and I've heard this. Now, the Sports Illustrated article was more about Watt's blue-collar background, you know, sports background, parent sacrifice, you know, the usual, you know, things that Sports Illustrated puts into an article. You know, nice, decent read. But J.J. Watt, you've heard this over the course of the season, this is probably the worst year you could probably possibly do this, because there are probably more quality MVP candidates this year than there have been in about a decade, to be honest with you. I mean, there are legit six MVP candidates this year, five quarterbacks, and the top five quarterbacks include DeMarco Murray. J.J. Watt does not enter that discussion. J.J. Watt is the best defensive player in the league. I think possibly even the best non-quarterback in the league. He's that good. He's that great of a player. It is a offensive-dominated league. Even in a game where J.J. Watt gets a touchdown return, a couple of sacks, a batted ball, his team could still give up 30 points. We saw it. We saw it with Indianapolis and Houston a few weeks back. His impact on the game is, you know, it's not minuscule, but he does not impact the game to be even considered to be an MVP candidate. He shouldn't get any votes at all. None. Not first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh place. Shouldn't get any votes. You're on a team that's not going to the playoffs. That's another aspect of it. Defensive player on a team that's not going to the playoffs in a year where, again, you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Tom Brady, you have Peyton Manning, you have DeMarco Murray. Yeah, I mean, there's not Andrew Luck. This year is loaded with MVP candidates. Loaded. And honestly, I can make a case that, you know, that Ndamukong Suh is the defense player of the year. The best player on a team, all-pro player on a team who's going to have the number one defense in the league. But Waddle win it. He's a Waddle winner because people hate Sue. But I can really make a case that Sue is the defense player of the year. .347-215-6180 is the call number. When we come back, NFL picks for week 11. on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Number 11 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Three games and a game in a week that's loaded with key matchups. We'll travel down to the Bayou, the home of the 4-5 New Orleans Saints, who, coming off a loss, a home loss in San Francisco, had their 11-game home winning streak snapped. They host the Cincinnati Bengals, who haven't played a good game, haven't played a good football game in about a month. The line is 7.5. Listen, I know Cincinnati has struggled, especially defensively, but 7.5 points is a lot of points. I think these two teams are closely matched. I can see Cincinnati putting up a, you know, indoors. No weather. They can't blame the wind on Andy Dalton's throws. I think this is going to be a very close game. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think both teams are going to score a lot of points. I like New Orleans to win, say, 31-27, but it will be much closer than 7 points. Give me Cincinnati with the points. They're due for a big-time offensive performance. A.J. Green should be healthier. They have a good running back. They have good offensive weapons. Andy Dalton cannot play any worse than what he did last week. He just can't. It's not possible. Game number two, San Diego hosting Oakland. San Diego's lost three straight, coming off a bye. Revenge game, Oakland. Not a revenge game. Oakland, they struggled with Oakland the first time around. 10.5 points is too many points. Like, I just think the way San Diego's playing right now, Oakland will find a way to keep this game within striking distance. Again, 10.5, it's just, Oakland's not any good. Oakland's not any good, but again, 10.5 points, that is a tremendous amount of points in the NFL. Too many points for me to pass up. I like San Diego to win this game, but I'm taking the Raiders with the points. I'll say, you know, 24-28, 20-27, 21, that type of game. Again, too many points, 27-20, too many points for me to pass up on. Tampa Bay, Washington coming back home. I know the Buccaneers are god-awful, but the Redskins are not that much better. Buccaneers do have some weapons. Rainey, Mike Evans, those are good players. Again, a lot of stuff going on with the Redskins and, you know, who's calling the shots. Did RG3, did Daniel Snyder choose for RG3 to play against Minnesota? You know, so a lot going on with the Redskins right now. Again, I like Tampa's weapons against that Redskin defense, which has been very inconsistent. I'll take Washington to win the game. But to me, this is a field goal game, not a 7-8. The Redskins should nowhere near be a touchdown favorite in this game. It shouldn't even be close to being that. I'll take the Redskins because they're at home. But I'm like, I like the Buccaneers with the points. So Cincinnati with the points, New Orleans to win the game, San Diego, Oakland with the points, San Diego to win the game, and Tampa Bay with the points, Washington to win the game. That is a week 3, week 11 picks on this latest edition of the Cyrilical Review. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyrilical Review. We began a program talking about market value versus actual value. Giancarlo Stanton is on the brink of signing a proposed 13-year, $325 million deal. Would be the richest contract in baseball history in terms of total money. Exceeding, of course, the contract signed by a couple of contracts that are signed by Alex Rodriguez. The last one, of course, the $275 million one he signed back in 2007. One that, of course, the Yankees are still lamenting to this day, right here, right now. You know, we talk about paying guys what they're worth versus the perception of what they're worth. And again, in baseball, these 10-year deals have not worked out well. Joey Votto, Albert Pujols, Prince Fielder signed a 9-year deal and was traded, two years later? I mean, you know, Detroit couldn't wait to get out of that deal. Troy Tulowitzki. So, you're talking about a franchise in Miami with the Marlins that had a $41 million payroll last year. $41 million payroll. And they're going to give a guy close to $30 million a year. So, he's going to be making almost more money than their entire payroll last year. So, I mean, again, you know, you see these contracts. You see the Gilbert Arenas contract a few years back. Ricky Rubio, point guard that can't shoot, signs a $14 million a year. In a lot of cases, you have these guys, you have teams bidding against themselves. Nobody's coming close to that to the stand offer. Nobody's gonna come close to that. Anybody that knows anything about baseball, about how baseball is run, knows that you cannot pay one guy that kind of money and expect to field a winning franchise. And that's not how baseball, there's no salary cap in baseball, but that's not, you know, these teams don't want to pay luxury tax. You got to pay your pitcher. What about Jose Fernandez? I know he was hurt this year, but that's a guy that you're going to eventually have to give $200 million to one day. So basically, you know, Miami, you know, they're going to have their slugger, their star. It's going to be, you know, come to the ballpark and not see us win. Come to the ballpark and see if Giancarlo hit one. It'd be a sideshow, like the Cubs had with Sammy Sosa back in 98 through 99 seasons, those two particular seasons. Think about winning, the Sammy hit one. It's not how you run your franchise. And again, these teams all around in professional sports, I would say the NHL is the best at paying guys what they actually worth, with the NFL being a close second. But a lot of these teams, especially in the NBA and Major League Baseball, are just scared to death not to pay a guy. They're scared not to pay a guy. I mean, that's why you have a number of quarterbacks in the NFL who frankly are just overpaid. But again, market value versus actual value, and lately, especially in the last 10 years, market value is winning that battle hands down. It's not even close. One contract I can think of that's been successful 10 years in baseball, and that was the Derek Jeter contract. He produced. You won a championship with him in 2009. He played until he was 40. He was box office. We know that. So, again, you give these players these long contracts. And I know Stan is younger than a lot of these players who received their first major contracts in baseball, but still, 13 years, 25. I mean, he's 25 years old. The contract is 13 years. There's an out clause after 5 years. There's no way. I mean, he's not walking away from that money. There's no way. There's no way. If he signs that contract, he's going to be more than likely a Marlin for life. Just nobody's taking that contract in terms of trading for that contract. Maybe the Dodgers. Maybe the Dodgers. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Circle Review. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the football. I'll see you next time.